Good morning to the Warrior's Way in UCAN Studios. I'm your host, Isaac. If this is your first time to Spiritual Warfare Unit, if you check out our website, spiritualwarfareunit.com, we have 8 or 10 of our community outreach people. If you know someone that's struggling, needs food or coffee or water or baby food or anything that they're struggling with, you tell them to go to spiritualwarfareunit.com, click on struggling. They go down there, make a phone call, and you can be the person that helps them. So help me help you. Help them. All right. So, Paul, you are from Spectacle Productions, right?
Yes.
And Paul is a friend of mine, and he works in television, and he works with politicians, basically.
Politicians and religious leaders, yeah.
Right. All right. So we're going to get to that at the end.
Okay.
And so him and I met through a mutual friend in regards to our community outreach and things that we want to do, and you just are unique human being, and I want to get people to get to know you because you do a lot of work in the community behind the scenes, and people just don't know that. So
we're you keep telling there. Me I'm unique, and I'm hoping I'm not. I'm hoping there's a
you don't
lot
want
more
to be
people
a fluffy
that
pink
think
unicorn.
Like, no, I'm hoping there's a lot more like me because I'm looking.
Yeah. When people are like, man, it's rare to have such an honest person. You're like, uh-oh. All right. So where did you grow up? Where were you born?
I was born in Detroit.
In Detroit?
In Detroit, Michigan, yeah. 5450 really? West Outer Drive.
West Outer?
Outer Drive, yeah. We were the quote-unquote suburbs of Detroit, I guess. The outer.
Yeah, outer would be suburbs.
The outer ring before.
Yeah. What county was that?
Wayne. Wayne County.
Wayne County, okay. Yeah. And how long did you stay in that area?
Man, I was there until my eighth grade year? Ninth grade.
All right,
grade,
so how many, like mom and dad together, divorced?
Yeah, mom and dad together.
Uh-huh. All right, and how many siblings?
Two. Older brother, younger sister. So I'm in the middle.
Oh, and so are you the come-together person when they're fighting?
You know.
Or are you guys, I'm going to let you guys burn and watch.
pretty much. You know, I like to laugh.
Yes, you do.
I like to laugh, so I don't remember acting as an intermediary between them or myself. I don't.
Okay. Were you a potster?
I was a...
What kind of kid were you if you had to label it?
I was a entrepreneurial geek.
As a kid?
Yes.
Give me an example.
Oh, I sold seeds to make money to buy a radio control car.
Seeds, like tomato seeds, cucumber seeds.
Peas, carrots, blah, blah, blah. They used to have all these little kits you could get in the back of comic books.
So you would sell those to who?
The neighbors.
No kidding. For their gardens or whatever?
For their gardens or whatever, yeah. I'd sell, what was it, seeds and Christmas cards and birthday cards and damn near anything I
could.
Where
did you get your hands on that stuff?
Through the back of my comic books. I was a Richie Rich comic book collector.
Okay.
So no Superman, Batman, none of that kind of stuff. It was all
so
Richie
like
Rich.
On the back of the thing was something for Christmas cards?
Yeah. Well, see,
tell me how it works.
J.C. Smith catalog, Johnson Smith catalog, used to advertise in the back of comic books.
Okay.
And then you get the Johnson Smith catalog, and you could buy poop. You know, plastic poop, x-ray glasses where you could see the girls naked, and what was one of the other things? Hot air balloons. You could buy these paper mache hot air balloons. They look like, you know, you could use them
in
the picture, but in reality it was 3 foot by 4 foot or whatever it was. But the J.C.'s, they got a lot of my money.
No kidding. Right? And then you in turn figured out how to make money doing that.
Well, no, I mean, those were programs that they had. Like today when the kids sell pizza boxes. For fundraisers at school, you know what I mean?
I got you, okay.
Sell candy bars.
But you're right. Most kids weren't doing that.
They were doing it for, well, not back then. No. I was doing it.
All right, so when you were growing up, were you like, when you define yourself as a geek, so you were a nerd in school, you were a cool kid in school, how did that work there?
I was...
Now we're talking 8, 9 years old, right?
Yeah, I am. Well, I tell us this story. I was in Region 5 Middle School. They had just started this new experiment. There wasn't going to be, there was going to be something between elementary school and high school, and they called it this middle school, which was like.
Like they started middle school, and what years is this?
78.
Okay. So middle school was a new idea.
It was a new idea. Okay. Yeah, it was a new idea. So I went to a middle school, and our middle school was like a shotgun. It was a three-story building with staircases at each end of the building that went up three floors.
Right.
And our cafeteria was in the basement.
Nice.
And I remember this girl kept stealing my my chocolate milk. She kept stealing my chocolate milk.
All right.
So I remember I hurried up and drank it. And replaced it with water or something. And the thing is, she came and took it and went to go drink it. And, oh, she got livid. She started
chasing
me. How dare
you drink your own?
Yeah, all right.
So is this like she thought you were cute kind of thing?
You know, in retrospect.
She thought I was gorgeous.
She chased me around that school for three laps.
Wow.
And then after, and all the kids in the cafeteria are cheering, her on. And then we get to the second floor on the fourth lap. And what was her name? Izella? Oh, what a weird name. Norzel was her last name. I think it was Izola Norrell. She was the science teacher, and she used to beat us with what she called a meter stick. Because she wanted to help us learn the metric system.
You get beat with a proper stick. That's awesome.
We round to the second floor, and there she's standing with that meter stick.
Oh, no. So what happened?
Oh, she got us both. Sent us to the office.
So you got in trouble for being chased.
Thank you.
That's outstanding.
Yeah. I think that was my first suspension.
My first suspension. So were you suspended multiple times?
Not really. No? Not really. Okay. I was an easygoing. I mean, I had a guy that we used to wrestle. We'd never fought mad at each other fight, but it was more of like who's stronger
right.
kind of wrestling when the teacher would leave the room.
Mm-hmm.
So I would get in trouble for that. Tyrone.
All right. So that was middle school. What was high school? You said you stayed in Detroit till then. So where'd you go to high school at?
We moved from Detroit to a small town in Massachusetts called Scituate.
Massachusetts?
Mm-hmm.
Called what again?
Scituate, Massachusetts.
Scituate.
Population 3.
That sounds very Indian.
We were only black folks in the whole town. American Everybody Indian. Else of color was Portuguese.
Oh no.
They bust in the black folks
why
to
there,
the school.
Why there?
My dad does work. Transferred. My dad do? Was a. He was the developer of dealer development.
The developer of.
He was the manager or director of dealer development for General Motors.
So wow.
His job was to recruit the Malfars.
So he was a smartity smart guy.
Yeah, he was the guy that put the football players into dealerships, car dealerships.
That was his idea.
I don't know that it was his idea, but that was his job.
I gotcha. Okay.
So he would go around and convince these football players.
So how did that work, being the only...
It was fabulous.
Yeah?
It was fabulous. It was a culture shock for me. I remember being on the school bus, first snow. And we affectionately called them greenhorns. I'm pretty sure that's a bad term now.
Okay.
But anybody that was fresh off the boat and it just arrived in the town was considered a greenhorn.
Okay.
And... it's snowing like cats and dogs, and all these guys that have just arrived in the country are just standing out on their front yards looking at the snow in their shorts and their flip-flops.
Yeah. Amazed.
Amazed. Yeah. They've never seen snow before.
Yeah.
So to see somebody experience snow for the first time
yeah.
was fabulous.
That had to be cool.
It was fabulous. It was fabulous. But they had weird rules that I didn't know of. Like if somebody died, they had to wear black for a year.
A year.
A year. You had to wear black for a year. And if you lost your grandma and your grandpa and your aunt, you'd be 3-4 years wearing black.
Just wearing black.
Amazing. I didn't know that they weren't allowed to date until they were 18, until I showed up at this girl's house.
And which background is this?
Portuguese. Yeah, Cape Verdeans, Portuguese.
They can't date until they're, like, you're like, oh, he's 16. You're like, oh, you got 2 more years? No kidding.
That's what the shotgun said.
So perfect. All right. So you graduated, like, what? So were you studious?
No, I'm going to say I wasn't.
What was your grades?
C student.
C student.
CB. Yeah.
All right. So you graduated when?
I'm guessing 3-something. 3-2.
That's, yeah, no, what year?
Oh, 1981.
All right, so you graduate in 81. You're in Massachusetts.
Situate, Massachusetts.
All right, so what happens?
Well, actually, no. We came back. I only did 2 years in Situate. I did my freshman year and my sophomore year in Situate, and then we moved to Grand Blanc. And I did my junior and senior year at Grand Blanc.
All right. And what'd you think of that experience?
Well, when I walked in the door for the first time,
yeah.
I went to the bathroom, and on the wall, it was, go home.
Shut up. For real?
On the mirror. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
So they were really friendly, is what you're saying.
Really friendly. But, I mean, when I saw it, I said, oh, this is going to be an adventure. this is going to be fun, right. You know, because I know it's only a few folks.
Because you use humor to deflect things, I noticed about you.
You got to. Why wouldn't you?
Why be mad, right? Like, what's the purpose?
It serves no purpose. Right. It's like drinking poison and hoping somebody else dies.
Right. You've said that multiple times. I love that. I love that, right? So you graduate in 81. You're in Grand Blanc.
Yes.
So what was your plans then? Like, what was your, back then, what was your big plans?
Well, what was really cool was maybe 3 weeks after we moved to Grand Blanc, got a call on a Saturday morning. Mm-hmm. And the guy says, hey, I'm your neighbor. You don't know me, but would you like a job?
Wow.
And I said, sure. You know, this is when the phone was in the kitchen, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I said, sure. He says, all right, well, I'll stop by later on.
Didn't tell you what it was.
Didn't tell me what it was.
Oh, outstanding.
So Irv Shapiro lived across the street, and they ran Shapiro's grocery store.
Okay.
On 2nd and Harrison Street downtown.
All right.
Jewish deli.
Okay.
He gave me a job.
And you were doing?
I was a clerk. I was a butcher. I was a cashier.
Whatever they needed.
Bottle room. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you learned the grocery business. Well,
what was funnier was that years later, I mean, I worked for him for maybe 5 years. Mm-hmm. About 3 years in, he told me that he didn't mean to hire me. He thought he was talking to my brother.
Really?
They were having problems with people stealing stuff in the store, and my brother was a big guy.
Yeah.
I said, oh, yeah, we get this guy in here. And then I showed up, and it was like they didn't want to tell me no.
Right, because they had already offered you the job.
They had already offered me the job. So,
you did that from?
Love the Shapiros.
High school to post-high school for a few years.
Yeah, for a few years until they actually tried to get me to quit.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. But because they loved me.
Before you tell me that story,
okay,
I got to take a break.
Take a break.
All right. If you haven't gone to spiritualwarfareunit.com, make sure that you do. If you haven't share and subscribe to YouTube channel for Spiritual Warfare Unit, make sure you do that. You guys sit tight. We'll be right back. Taking a quick break from our podcast, I wanted to let you know about our life application program that we have for churches and nonprofits in the area that are trying to find programming that they can use in case the corona shuts you down and you're not able to get in. You go to spiritualwarfareunit.com. Click on our episodes, and you can check out our programs for as little as $29.99 a month to make sure that we're still getting the word out to those people that need it. Now, back to the program. All right, welcome back to the Warriors Way. Our warrior this week is Paul Herring from YouTube, Spectacle TV, youtube.com/Spectacle TV. So you're just telling us a story that you accidentally got hired by your neighbors because they thought it was your brother. And so you're 17, 18, 19, right in that range?
Right in there, yeah.
And they loved you so much that they made you quit.
They made me quit. I started having parties with my friends.
Well, right? Of course.
There was a bar next door to Shapiro's called the Rusty Nail.
Okay.
And we used to rent roller skates at Crazy Horse Skate Rental, which was just past the Capitol Theater.
All right.
And we skate around to the bars downtown, skate into the bars, and have a good time.
Yeah.
I think I maybe had 6 or 7 of these parties,
right? All right.
These roller skating parties. And at the same time, at work at Shapiro's, they had hired this other girl, and they made her my boss. Mm. They, like, hired her 2 weeks. And after two
she's
weeks—
She's your boss after 2 weeks.
She's the assistant manager. Mm. And they knew it wouldn't sit well with me.
Right.
Right.
It shouldn't.
So I'm trying to decide what to do, and I get a phone call from Water Street Pavilion, which was just opening up.
Now, what is that, Water Street Pavilion?
Water Street Pavilion on Saginaw Street across from the hotel— The Hyatt Hotel, that big pavilion that was a...
Oh, yeah, right downtown Flint.
Okay. Shopping mall.
Yeah.
So they called me and they said, hey, we're looking for somebody to manage our skating rink. We've heard great things about you.
We hear you skate. Okay.
So Keith, the guy that...
Sounds like somebody made a call.
Did Crazy Horse. Right.
Yeah.
Had talked to them.
That's
And they had also okay. talked to Shapiro's. Because they got my name from them. They went to meet me at Shapiro's.
Yeah, yeah.
So Shapiro's knew they were looking for me.
Gotcha.
And Shapiro's knew that I wouldn't quit.
So they got the girl to make it rough for you so you would leave. No kidding. Now, are you going to school during this time? Because you're like early 20s, right?
Early 20s. I did some time over at Mott. I did some time over at U of M. Never accumulated a degree at mm-hmm. either one of them. Took mm-hmm. statistics and logic and...
All the classes nobody takes, those are the ones you took.
Right, right. I was taking them for me. I wasn't taking them
just to learn.
For the degree. Right, right. Yeah.
I need this one and this one and this one.
I said, I need some logic here.
Yeah.
You know, I got to understand
what's logical. Did you take accounting as well?
I did.
Those are all the ones that people avoid. Like, check, check, check. You're like, I need these four and then the rest are. Wow. Well,
I think I failed the logic class, to be honest.
Really?
I think I did. But it was really hard to wrap my head around some of the concepts.
Mm.
But I think they stuck for some reason.
All right.
So I did U of M, I did Mott, and then I did Auto World. And while I was at Auto World, I was approached by this guy who had created a hot air balloon, a miniature hot air balloon that was radio controlled.
Like the ones from your comic books. Just better.
Okay. Think 20 years later.
You've
got these inflatable.
All right. And explain balloons. What Auto World is for those people.
Well, Auto World was a failed Six Flags amusement park.
Okay.
Based on a loose auto theme.
Right.
But it was the management that stole all the money that closed it down. But that's neither here nor there.
Right. So it's a little theme park. So you got this remote controlled. Now, how big is this?
They're like 8 foot. Actually, we had a couple sizes, 8, 12, and 24 foot.
You had a 24-foot remote-controlled
hot air balloon.
No kidding.
And what we did was we flew them in arenas, shopping malls and things like that.
Okay. I've never even heard of these before.
Right. Huh. So once I hooked up with this guy, I was at the rink,
mm-hmm.
and I hooked up with a guy at the Ice Skating Association.
Mm-hmm.
He bought two balloons from me.
Okay.
And flew me to Hong Kong for 2 weeks.
No kidding.
To train his staff on how to fly them in the City Plaza shopping mall.
How fun was that?
Dude, this shopping mall is like six stories tall. Okay? the shopping mall
Is six stories tall.
Six stories tall. And then on the top of the shopping mall starts the 40-story apartment building.
Starts the 40-story
40 stories up. You go to the roof of this shopping center, think you're in Central Park.
How tall is that?
You think you're in Central Park.
No
There's
kidding.
Bunny rabbits running around, glass ponds, waterfalls, on the roof of the shopping mall. It was amazing. We landed at the airport. We're driving to the hotel, and all these tall, tall buildings.
Yeah.
People had the windows open, and they're closed. Hanging out, drying out of these skyscrapers. I thought it was hilarious. I asked the lady what that was all about. She says, we believe the sun cleanses clothing, And I asked somebody else when I was there. He says, that's BS. The apartment's too small. They had to choose between a TV or a washer or a dryer. The apartment's too small. You can't have both.
No kidding.
You had to make some serious choices.
All right. So you get done doing that. You come back from Hong Kong, which is good. And you were what, 22, 23?
18 when I went to Hong Kong.
18.
18 when I went to Hong Kong.
Wow. Yeah. That had to be an experience. So were you living at home? Or?
I was definitely living at home. I took a video camera with me.
Okay, yeah.
And I walk around Hong Kong with this, right. And that was when video cameras, or suitcases, And they looked at me kind of weird.
Yeah, I bet.
What I found hilarious was I went to a Kentucky Fried Chicken in Hong Kong, and you know that animation of the Colonel, the cartoon, looked just like him.
Shut up.
Except his eyes were slanted. It was hilarious.
Yeah, but how was the chicken?
Wonderful.
Was it exactly the same?
You know, I'm going to say it was. I've been eating snails and urchins.
Yeah, because I'm thinking, you know, because I love Chinese. Like, I'm literally going to lunch at 11:30 for Chinese food. I'm sitting there going, well, it was like sweet and sour Colonel. Was it like General Tsao Colonel?
I loved it. I had a good time. I would teach them, you know, I had certificates made for them so that after they finished the class.
They had something that they had signed. And
so I made this long line thinking I'm going to get Zhang Yang Ju Bai, you know, just.
Yeah, whatever.
Whatever the name was. My guy's name was Peter.
For real.
Patricia. There was no Chinese names. I mean, they were Youngs and Chais and stuff.
Yeah, Zhu.
But we had a good old time.
Man, that's cool.
I had a good time. I went to a I went to a bar. I used to get off at 5, right? And I grabbed me they had 22-ounce Heinekens. I had never seen them before.
Okay.
So I grab a 22-ounce Heineken, and I start walking the city.
Sure. 18.
Walking the city. And I'm walking the city, and I make a turn, and I see a green and white light at the end of this, what I'm calling an alley, right?
Okay.
I start walking up the alley, and the concrete goes away, and it's a carpet. I said, well, who would carpet an alley?
Yeah, right.
So I take my lighter, and I go down, and it's moss.
Like moss. Like grass?
Green moss has covered this alley.
In the middle of the city.
In the middle of the city.
Okay.
But as I look to the left and the right, there are these little holes coming out of the buildings.
Okay.
And there's waste coming out of these spouts into a trough on the side of the alley.
Oh, no.
So it's the whole exposed sewage system.
Yeah.
Man. So
I wouldn't want to walk through that, bro.
I keep going. And the green and white sign at the end of the alley ends up being a 7-Eleven. It's 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, always open.
I'm at a 7-Eleven. Man, I'm going to go get me one of them red hot burritos. I'm going to microwave that baby, and I'm going to call it a night.
Right.
I go in there, and a beautiful girl behind the counter, hair down to her ankles.
Wow.
And I go to the cooler to look for this burrito. No burritos. They got pickled duck bills. they got teriyaki chicken feet.
Yuck.
Just anything you can think of that's not a burrito, right?
Yeah.
But I had to bounce back to Boston. In Boston, they had a lot of slang, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oja spear would mean look where I'm looking.
Okay.
Right? And we used to do this other thing, ay-ay. If you saw a beautiful girl, you would say ay-ay. And depending on how beautiful she was, you would hold the yai. So if she's really cute, it'd be a yai.
Yeah. Okay. You
know, look over there.
All right.
So I turn the corner after not getting my burrito. And I see this cashier. She's got her back to me, hair all the way down to her ankles. And I just go, a yai.
Yeah, right.
And she turns around and her name tag says yai. That was her name.
No way.
She's like, did we go to school together?
That's so funny. Man, that's cool. So you do that at 18. So you come back. Because, like, this is the part of your life that's just unique. Like, this is not an experience that a normal person goes through life and has. So you're doing this. So you get back. You're going to school. What's the next step?
Well, the next step was it Water Street Pavilion? Did I go Water Street Pavilion or Auto World? I think I went Auto World first, and then Water Street Pavilion.
Okay.
That's the timeline. I'm sorry.
It's all right.
Getting a little confused.
So you're downtown. You're 18 to mid-20s. You're just living that young person's life. When did you move out on your own? Like, when did that happen?
I opened a rubber stamp and button company while I was working at Shapiro's.
Hold on. A rubber stamping button company?
A rubber stamp and button company.
Oh, rubber you stamp.
Know, paid stamps and date stamps and stuff like that. Your return address back in the day.
How the heck?
Before did everybody had a printer.
Yeah, yeah. No, I get it. I remember the
I was hanging around customers that came in Shapiro's. When I take my break, I go over to the print shop and shoot the crap with you know, the owner there and the press guy. And there was another shop up the street that we delivered stuff to, advertisers, press.
All right.
Back in the day, and he had this rubber stamp machine in his basement. I said, "What's that?" And he explained what it was. And me and a friend partnered up and bought it. I think $500.
So what would you like? Sell? I don't understand.
We would, you would stamp. We would take order forms around to print shops.
Okay.
And people would be able to order return address stamps. So you get your name and address and zip code. So when you did your bills, instead of putting stickers, you just rubber stamp it.
Oh, or so banks, they pay for their name and address, so they could instead of having to write it out every time.
Instead of having to write it out,
banks and that was
would
popular.
Buy, banks would buy paid stamps. People would buy daters. Put the date on a stamp. Or
so you're just talking with somebody. He's got this thing in the basement. All right. So how did the button part come up?
Well,
those are kind of, you know.
The company I started was called PBS, Paul's Buttons and Stamps. So I had to find something that
had some kind of buttons. So buttons. You fixed shirts?
So we made buttons. I would buy magazines, or I would go to the Goodwill and get magazines.
Okay.
And then I'd make circles of Michael Jackson, you know, whatever picture I could get out of the magazine, I'd make a button out of it. Like T-shirts.
And then you'd sell
I'd
the
have
buttons.
Sayings on them.
Yeah,
you know
yeah.
what I mean? And then we sold the buttons.
No kidding.
Yeah.
And it was successful.
It was fun enough.
It was fun.
It was fun enough, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We had a good time. We had
so
a good time.
So how old are you at this point?
19?
No kidding. You jumped right into that.
Oh, yeah.
So
probably 17. We started that so before I went to on-call.
Like always being entrepreneurial. That's just something that you were always that way.
Yes.
Like most people don't think that way.
Right.
You're always looking at how can I make a buck doing this thing? Yes. And that's just the way your brain works.
Right.
This is, man.
This has got to make
sense. It's so interesting. This is going by so fast. We're already at our second break. We're going to have to take a break. If you haven't checked out Paul's thing, it's youtube.com/spectacleTV. youtube.com/spectacleTV. You can check that out on the break.
And I recommend the Tesla tour.
The Tesla tour. All right. And if you haven't liked, shared, and subscribed on Spiritual Warfare Unit, do that now. We'll see you in a couple minutes.
I'm really impressed with the teachings that Isaac has been bringing to us, as this is all based from Proverbs.
I like it because it's simple, and it doesn't matter who you are. It's very easy to understand and apply to your life.
You know, it points out, you know, my bad parts, and you know, but it's showing me how to do the good parts. And you know, I'm trying to apply that and, you know, make a better life for myself because I'm tired of where I've been.
It's impacted a lot of the guys as they continue to talk and ask questions after the meetings as they speak to one another regarding the meeting and the messages and the topics that are being brought up, which are down-to-earth topics of situations and things that we live with on a day-to-day basis.
He takes the Bible and he breaks it down into simple terms and where you can understand. And like I said before, a lot of churches, even the Salvation Army sometimes, we start using these big words that people don't understand, like even saying someone got saved. Well, what does that mean? What does it mean when you say someone got saved? And it's accepting Jesus into your heart. So it's like words like that we use that people don't understand.
It's just very interesting how he points out, you know, the different things of, you know, the sin part, and then he comes back with the, you know, how to make it better, and he just points it out. It's there. You know, I didn't know all this stuff was in there, but now that he's pointing it out, it's like, wow, you know, I guess if you really dig into the Bible, you find these things.
This is a daily moral standards that we can live by that the teachings are coming from. And honestly, we can take verse by verse as what he's done, and pretty much he's done the hard work for us and now laying it out so that we have an easier understanding.
There are some people who don't like to be in Bible classes, but this one seems to get their attention.
All right, welcome back to the Warrior's Way. Our warrior this week is Paul Herring, and he is just getting into his button and stamp business at 19. and entrepreneurial. So is this when you moved out?
I actually need to kind of backpedal.
All right.
Because my mom was a wonderful person. Right. And my mom was a follow the rules kind of gal, unless the rules are broken.
All right, give me an example.
I tell the story. We're getting ready to move to Massachusetts.
Yeah.
So I'm selling stuff. We're having a garage sale. Mm-hmm. I had a go-kart. I had taken the tires off the go-kart. Mm-hmm. And we were fixing it up, trying to sell it. And a couple kids came by to look at it. And they said, they ain't got no tires. I said, oh, the tires are back over there.
Yeah.
And they left. And the next day, the go-kart got stolen. Gone.
Of course it did.
And the tires are gone.
Of course they are.
So we knew who took it.
Yeah.
We knew who took it.
Yeah.
So me and probably about 5-6 of my friends are outside. My mom has called the police to make the report. Mm-hmm. And the police show up and they say, ma'am, if the boy drove by us right now, we couldn't take it from him and give it to you.
Why?
Because there's no proof of ownership. How can you prove, you know, you don't have a
receipt? The fact that everybody saw it?
Everybody knows it's ours, but that was on top of the fact. He said he couldn't do anything is pretty much what he said. My mom looked at him. She said, well, thank you very much, officer. She said, boys, do you know where he lives? And we said, yes. She said, go get your go-kart. Thank you, officers.
Have a great day, sir.
So 6 kids start picking up sticks and rocks.
In Detroit.
And start hitting.
In the 60s.
We're going to go get this go-kart. Right?
That's our go-kart. Right?
So my brother, God bless him, we get to the kid's house. He knocks on the door. He says, we're here for the go-kart. We don't have no go-kart. My brother just busts in the house. Walks through the house all the way. Now, we're with him.
Yeah.
And in the garage, they're in the garage trying to paint this go-kart blue. Like, nobody's going to recognize. Only go-kart in the whole neighborhood.
Yeah. Well, ours is blue, so it's not the same.
It's not the same one. But that's just the character of my mom. She tried to do the right thing.
Yeah.
She called the police, you know, and she was looking for help.
You can't handle it. We'll take care of it ourselves.
Yeah, we can do this.
Yeah. All right. So how does that get to you moving? How does that work?
I think it gets to me moving out. My moving out was non-climatic at best. I pretty much
just how old were you
stopped
when you
coming home at night because I was dating.
All right. And you're how old when this is happening?
I'm saying 18, 19, 20.
Oh, so this is all happening at the same time
period. Yeah.
Very hectic 2 years of your life.
Well, what happened was that the print shop that I had, my button and stamp company, which had folded, mm-hmm. had moved to a new location. Mm-hmm. And I had an office upstairs.
Oh, I got you.
And their new location was across the street from the Copa nightclub. I don't know if you remember the Copa Cabana in Flint.
I know the stories.
Hottest nightclub in Flint. You hear me? And I could walk out the front door of the Copa
and
be in my apartment in 30 seconds.
Yeah, and for a young man, that was living the dream right there.
Fabulous.
good times.
Yeah. A real good time.
All right, so how long did you do that right there?
I'm going to say that was 2-3 years.
Yeah.
Then I started working at Auto World.
Mm-hmm.
I was made, what do they call it, a day off relief manager.
All right.
So, you know how they had little booths and concession stands, food, hot dogs, and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Well, when the manager...
You manage those.
When the manager would go have a day off,
yeah,
I would step in.
I got you.
So I had to run the sausage place, the pizza place, the onion place, you know.
So how many days a week would you work that then?
I could do 5 or 6 days a week.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah,
oh, okay.
Just relieving people on their days off.
Gotcha.
So I did that for a while till they bellied up, I think.
How long was that?
Good grief. I don't think they
were. A few years.
I don't think it was 3 years.
Yeah.
I don't think it was 3 years that Auto World lasted.
Yeah, that was like late 80s, right?
Yeah.
Into late 80s.
Late 80s.
All right. So have you found a steady date at this time? Like, is there a particular lady?
Yeah. I was in love. My gosh. I had my wife, Angela. I met her. She worked the Ferris wheel at Auto World. And we started dating.
Really?
Yeah.
And that's the one.
That was the one. That was the one.
So how long was it before you got married?
Man, I'm going to say I'm going to get in trouble now.
It was quick.
It was a wonderful time.
Yeah, back in the boom 80s.
Yeah. It was probably longer than it should have been, but not as fast as it could have been.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, that'll be
yeah, safe. That's such a great
answer.
That'll
keep me out of trouble.
Late 80s, early 90s. And so Otterworld goes down. You're dating your gonna-be wife. What happens at that point?
You know, this timeline is getting messed up, but I had decided to take a trip to Mackinac.
Mackinac Island.
Yes.
All right.
And me and... So this must have been before my wife. Better have been. I'm in trouble.
Well, you were clear with the timeline. It was... that was the timeline. Very clear.
I had taken two girls.
Okay.
Up north.
Okay. To Mackinac.
And, well, we were going to Mackinac. But I had borrowed a cabin from my friend at the bar, at Civic Park Bar. Devere had a cabin up in Idlewild. Are you familiar with Idlewild?
I am not.
Idlewild, Michigan was a well-known resort for African Americans during the Civil Rights Movement.
Oh, wow. Okay.
All your famous people, the Sammy Davis Jr.'s, the Joe Lewis's, all those people vacationed in Idlewild.
Okay.
Because it was Afrocentric or African. Friendly.
Yeah.
So he had a cabin in Idlewild and told me, you know, blah, 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 the keys under the mat.
Right. Whenever,
feel
whatever.
Free to use it. Yeah.
Wow. Cool.
So I go up with the two girls.
Who said that?
Devere.
Okay.
The guy that was in the bar. All right. And I go up with these two girls. And while we're in the cab, the next morning, like 8 o'clock in the morning, is knock on the door. And I'm like, I don't know nobody. You got friends?
Yeah.
And I open the door, and there's an older black woman at the door.
Okay.
And she says, what are you doing in my house?
My house, she said. Uh-oh.
That's what I said.
Yeah.
This could become a problem. Yeah. And I explained. I said, Devere. And the minute I said Devere,
yeah.
She said, oh, okay, well, we'll just go to the other house down the street then. So she had two houses up there.
Woo.
The craziest part about it is I had an interview that Monday with an organization called the Coalition for Positive Youth Development.
Okay.
I walk into the interview, and guess who's interviewing me?
That lady.
That lady that knocked on the door.
Shut your mouth.
It was like, wow.
Yeah, because you've met some pretty famous people in your day.
Wow, right? That would have been E. Hill Delony, Mrs. Delony.
E. Hill Delony.
Call her the Queen Mother.
Man, because you've met some pretty famous people in your runnings and ramblings back and
Everybody's forth. Famous in my book.
Yeah, right.
Everybody's famous. You know, famous people are no different than we are.
I know, but a lot of people don't get to meet some of the people. Like, give me one of the craziest ones that you've...
Brock. I met the president.
Barack Obama?
Yeah, Wycliffe.
Right. Hold on. You can't just throw his name out there and not let us know how and where and when.
We snuck in.
Shut up.
We snuck
in. Of course you did.
We did.
All right. What happened?
He was at Kettering campaigning.
Yeah, yeah. And so this is 08, 09?
Yeah, I have a production company. So I took my kids. Yeah, my kids are like 10, 11, 11, 12. Nobody's going to turn down kids. You know, nobody's going to turn down kids.
You're using the kids.
I'm using the kids as a shield.
Okay.
And
I'm not even mad. I'm kind of jealous.
I took Shakia. Smart. Shakia Hui went with me. She was one of my anchors for one of the shows, I think Common Ground, I was doing at the time.
You were doing TV shows at the time.
Yeah, Public Access.
And yeah, we'll get to that in a minute.
And we went down there and pretty much snuck in, you know, pretended like we knew what we were doing. We had tripods and cameras and...
Oh, you walked in like a show.
Oh, yeah.
How are you? No, yeah, we're just going
to
check the...
We're here to interview.
All right, so how did you...
They didn't say anything.
So you just walked
up? Worst security ever.
I was going to
say. Worst security ever.
No kidding.
So we got in, and the boys got to meet him, and he was really cordial and friendly and really complimentary of the kids and what they were doing. So it was a good experience all around.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Man, that's cool. All right, back to where we're at. So you're in your early 20s. The lady introduced the coalition and all that. Now, how old were you when you got married?
I was 26, 27.
All right, and what were you doing at that time?
At that time, I'm going to say I was working for the coalition because we had our kids while I worked for the coalition. And what was so cool about the coalition was I had my kids next to my desk in my bath, you know, in the bassinet. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So what did you do for them?
I was the youth coordinator.
Okay. Coordinating what for youth?
We did a series of programs. One we called, the Underground Railroad.
Okay. Now, is this a TV show?
No. This was we want to call it a program, a project for inner city kids to expose them to other things.
So okay.
We would do the Underground Railroad from Flint to Canada.
Wow.
The Garrison's retreat in Canada. And we take a school bus full of kids on this trip.
And then, you teach them what? Like, what are you?
We would stop at all the markers and show them how the slaves went to the church in Detroit and how they crossed and, you know, things that they did. And Harriet Beecher Stowe, I think, wrote her book at Garrison's or somewhere around in Canada where we ended up.
Yeah, yeah.
We also did a program called Tour Michigan.
Okay.
Where we would start in Detroit and just tour the whole state.
No kidding.
Go around.
And you guys did this to the kids for free?
Yeah, we did this to kids for free. We ran a freedom school on Saturdays where we'd go pick up kids and bring them and talk them about culture and
man, that's cool.
All sorts of stuff. It was a great job.
All right, before we go further, we got to take our next break, man. You're killing me here. And when we get back, we have our gem session where he's going to tell us a funny story, and hopefully we'll have a funny story in return. If you've not gone to Spiritual Warfare Unit, subscribe and like, do that now. If you want to check out what Paul's doing, youtube.com/spectacleTV. Give that a shot. We'll be right back.
Hey, it's Aaron with UCAN. Just out here today at the Valley Area Agency on Aging event, Senior Power Day. It's been really cool. We haven't been in the senior world very long, and I know it always plays a part in our world. So we're here today to connect with that senior community and kind of talk about the proper use, misuse, storage, and disposal of medications, making sure that they're not only are they using them as prescribed, but also disposing them as needed. So we're also bringing a multitude of services here that I'm looking at that allow us to connect and expand on our senior care initiative. So it was twofold. Share some information with the seniors that were out here, but also make some connection with those who are servicing the senior community to be able to expand our network of our senior initiative and make some connectivity. So we've met the folks from Valley Area Agency on Aging specifically, have some cool ideas already to work with them. We'll talk to McLaren and Genesee Health Plan as far as the Medicaid signups and things like that. Veterans are here. The Genesee County Services for Veterans is here. So really have some great connectivity going. Good start to our senior care. A great day here. There's a lot of people here. There's been probably 200 to 300 people here. We've been here since 9, so it's been a rewarding event. Most people do look at our table and say addiction and don't look, but there has been those handful that do come over to us and say specifically, hey, can you come to this event or can you come speak to us here or there? And that's kind of what we're after. We're really after the focus on how we can continually expand our reach into this community. So it's been a good day. We look forward to continuing the rest of the day, and we'll circle back again another time. Thanks again.
So people that are talking about breaking the rules use their fingers to speak to each other. And that's what gangs do to communicate from point A to point B. It's almost like this has been in the Bible for 2,000 years. And people feel like it's a new thing. That is unbelievable, isn't it? That things that are happening in your life today are in here from 2,000 years ago. That's very weird. You love me too much and let me stay this way.
You have a all right, welcome back to the Warrior's Way. This is our third session, our gem session, where we get a gem, a funny story that's happened in the life of our guest. And so this is your opportunity if you have a funny story. And I remember you saying something about a go-kart, but that's all I remember.
Man, no, I think I already told the go-kart story about my mom. I'm trying to think of a PG. Funny story, because most of my stories involve some stuff.
Yeah, the rating may be a little too high.
The rating might be a little high. Man, I can tell an amazing... Well, this happened when I was 16 years old. Me and my buddy decided to go camping.
All right.
We had decided to go camping, and we had got somebody to buy us some beer. So we had a six-pack of Tall Boy Budweisers.
All right.
We had gone to Holly Recreation, and we had set up. I had a my mom had a Skylark. We took a tarp, and we slammed it in the car doors and put sticks on the outside and put the picnic table underneath it.
Yeah.
We had a little...
Living the dream.
Living the dream.
Yeah.
Two girls walked by.
Mm-mm. Just a half.
Cute as they wanted to be. We followed them down to the beach.
Uh-huh.
Long story short, she was my girlfriend for 3 years.
Wow.
But we didn't come back to camp till late that night.
Okay.
And we had set up our tent next to this big mound of dirt that had some construction going on.
Oh, no.
So he gets out the beer.
Mm-hmm.
And no sooner than we click the beer, a cop walks around the corner.
No way.
Cop walks around the corner. He says, listen, you guys, put the beer on the table. I'll be right back.
Uh-oh.
And
are you there with the girls?
No, the girls are in their camp.
Oh,
our camp. And I said, Jeff, toss the beer.
Right.
He says, no, man, we're caught. Let's just put it on the table. Deal with it. I said, dude, toss the beer. He said, no, man, we're caught.
Mm-hmm.
I said, toss it. And he throws it over the hill, and we hear this, oof.
You did not.
Cop walks around the corner, dangling the four remaining beers, scratching his head. Just, who wants to fess up to tossing the beers?
Out of all the places.
All the places. So now the cop tells us we got to break down the camp.
Yeah.
We got to leave. We're kicked out.
Of course.
So now Jeff decides he's going to start this Coleman lantern that we have on the picnic table.
Oh,
right?
Gosh.
That's where we're waiting for the cop. He's all right, well, we'll get some light.
Yeah, yeah.
He starts pumping this thing. And white smoke starts coming out of it.
Oh, there's good news.
And I say, Jeff, don't light that. And he looks straight at me and he says, I won't. Click. Flicks the bick. We are engulfed in flame. The flame comes out of the Coleman lantern, hits the roof of the little awning, and cascades around us. Split second, you know, it was just like,
no kidding.
Oh, I said, dude, you okay? He said, yeah. And then the cop tapped him on the shoulder, and he freaked out.
Wow. No kidding.
We got all packed up. They called my dad. They called his parents. They had a hard time getting a hold of his parents because he gave them a fake ID and the right phone number. I'm like, dude, why would you do that?
If you're going to go all in. Huh?
So my dad's coming. He's coming to get us.
Oh, no.
And we're following the cop out of the park.
Yeah.
And every car that passes us, he stops to see if it's my dad.
Yeah.
Not my dad. He ends up catching these people in Lover's Lane. Right?
Yeah.
So now there's a convoy. There's the cop, me, and these guys that he caught in Lover's Lane. We're headed to the ranger's office. And, of course, my dad passes, and the cop doesn't stop him. Yeah. I have to stop him.
Yeah, yeah.
I stop my dad, and he's a big guy.
Yeah.
He backs up, and he says, where are you going? And I said, the officer told us to follow him.
Yeah.
And he looks at us and just starts laughing. We must have looked so pathetic.
Right.
Make a long story short, we go down to the police station, and the cop's explaining what happened, and the cop says that they're kicked out for the night. They can come back tomorrow, and my dad didn't understand that. You mean, I would say it's midnight now, so you're saying in 2 minutes they can come back.
Right.
He says, let me talk to you in your office. So he walks the cop into his office, and we're sitting outside shooting the crap with the folks that got caught at Lover's Lane.
Yeah.
He gets frustrated waiting. 15 minutes, he goes in, comes back out. He says, how'd it go? He says, well, your father told me he'd be right with me. So I said, oh, this is going to work out good.
Yeah.
And then the next thing you know, the cop comes out.
Yeah.
And he says, okay, listen. Your father thinks it's a part of your growing up. And do you want to stay or do you want to go? And Jeff hadn't been caught yet. So he says, we want to stay. And the cop says, you can't stay. And Jeff says, you tell his father we're staying, and we'll leave. And the guy looked at us both, and Jeff says, "You'll have you in there for an hour."
No kidding.
So the cop agrees. My dad comes out, and he looks at both of us, and he just says, "Don't drink your beers under a streetlight."
You were under a streetlight. No kidding. Oh, my gosh.
So he takes off. We come back, and he says, "You can't stay." And that's the night we found out that half our friends were gay.
You can't just throw that one in there. Why? Half your friends are gay.
Yeah. Wow. Interesting, to say the least. We needed a place to stay. So our buddy Steve worked at Arby's or something like that, and they were up all night at Arby's. So,
all right, well, we're going to have to get you to come back at another time for that story. We got to finish up. So you're married, had the kids at 26, married, yeah. Kids. How did you get into, like, doing television production? Like, how did all that happen?
One of the stretches when I was looking for work, I wasn't having success. Mm-hmm. And I decided that a smart way to do it would be to interview.
Yeah.
A way in the door, instead of calling and asking for a job, would be to call and ask if I could interview the director.
Gotcha.
And then so I started interviewing directors of nonprofit agencies in the city of Flint, mm-hmm. on the television show. Actually, I started volunteering as a camera operator. Right. Okay. And I was a camera operator on a show called Common Ground that Dan Kildee hosted. You know, Senator Kennedy?
Yeah, yeah.
Kildee?
Yeah.
Well, 2 weeks after I started, he decided to run for office. And the rule back then was you couldn't be on public access if you're running for office.
Right.
So he looked at me and says, "Hey, you want to host a show?"
No kidding.
So I started hosting Common Ground. 3 weeks to a month after that, the producers of the show got a grant to go to Poland to do a documentary.
Okay.
So they said, "Hey, you want to produce the show?"
Yeah.
And so within 3 months of me volunteering as a camera operator, I was a producer. Mm. Which amazed me. I smile every time I think about it.
Yeah, right. And you were how old at that time?
20 maybe. Maybe 20, 22.
And you've been doing this?
Ever since.
No kidding.
Ever since. I think I've made a career out of an uncareerable opportunity.
Uncareerable opportunity.
Yeah, it's public access. So it's supposed to be free, 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 free.
Yeah.
But they told me as long as I didn't charge to use their stuff,
yeah,
I could generate revenue.
I gotcha.
I started buying my own equipment, and I started doing shows for people who didn't want to deal with scheduling.
Yeah.
You guys to run camera.
Yeah.
Finding a director to produce their show. So it was a package.
You're right.
And once they wouldn't let me store sets there for these people's shows, I started looking for a place. Then I found one in Carriagetown.
Yeah, and Carriagetown helps with families that are in need. And
well, that's the other Carriagetown. Carriagetown, the neighborhood, is where I found the house. I got a house and a commercial building that I turned into a studio.
Okay.
And then we got the radio station some years later. So now we have a radio station in the studio, a television station in the studio, and a T-shirt factory.
And a T-shirt factory.
Anything that pays and a whole bunch of stuff that don't.
Yeah, and the way that your mind gets to that point, it's kind of unbelievable how, like, you went from just being that way as a kid. It's like, is there a moment where you're, like, going through this experience and you're just like, that's kind of odd that all this fell into place that way? Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, you know, I just start volunteering and this guy decides about, like, 2 weeks later, like, that's just not normal.
Well, everybody I met always had chips on their shoulders. You know, they blamed their parents for their upbringing and their childhood. And my attitude was I am going to succeed. I am going to succeed in spite or despite what my parents did. I'm going to choose the things that I enjoyed, that I liked that they did. And I'm going to lose the things that I didn't like.
So you're going to take the bare minimum of positive and then build on that platform.
What else is there to do?
I mean, he could be a victim, I guess, you know.
You know, if you're 60, 50, 45 years old and are blaming your parents for your circumstances, there's no way that they're blaming.
Yeah. Because when your kids are going through this, now you said do your kids would come with you to work?
Yes.
And doing this stuff? Was it always that way?
Yeah. Their childhood was pretty good. I mean, my son was 2 years old, and we handed him over to my coworker to take to Atlanta.
No kidding.
I had a I was Apple Club president. We had our Apple Club conference in New York City.
Yeah.
So I was going to New York. They were going to the AXO competition in Atlanta.
The what competition?
AXO, Academic, Cultural, Technological, and Scientific Olympics of the Mind. You never heard of that?
No. NAACP. Really, they need to fix that name.
Well, the guy, the AXO's pretty cool. They figured that academics needed the same kind of light that
sports
got.
No kidding.
So,
is it still a thing?
Yes.
No kidding.
There's national competition every year.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Well, I, you know, for someone who's AXO. Not as intelligent as the rest of us.
Academic, technological, and social. Yeah, AXO.
No kidding. And this is something for people to.
Of color. People of color. NAACP. National Association for the Advancement of Color People hosts it in states and cities across the world. Each state, each city can have its own team. So no Flint. Fielded a team that we sent to Philadelphia, we sent to New York, we sent to San Diego. I'm trying to remember
what different
years
fields
they won.
Did they like?
Well, it can be video.
Okay.
It can be art. It could be debate. It could be a scientific experiment. It could be a play. I mean, there's categories.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I. That's
check
amazing.
It out. Google it.
All right. I'll have to. What's the acronym?
ACTSO.
ACTSO. So someone want to Google that and get involved with that, and that's still something that's functional today. The other thing I want to talk about is you had been working on a Juneteenth thing to get to put together. And
oh, that's a funny story.
Yeah, it kind of is. I thought we would finish with it, right?
Well, you know, I went to the Million Man March.
Million Man
in
March.
D.C.
Yeah.
And I took my 72-year-old mentor, Milton mm-hmm. Mays, and my protege, Jesse Peck. And Jesse Peck was the guy in the band. He's now a member of the Spinners, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So we go to D.C., and we kind of use Milton as a sneak in.
Mm-hmm.
My mom had one of those mobility scooters.
Mm-hmm.
So we put Milton in the mobility scooter. We put all our equipment on the back of the scooter, and we went right to the front. Right to the front. Spectacle Productions was on the stands. I had CNN next to me.
No kidding.
BET on this side. And we just got a little VHS camcorder.
Yeah.
And my boy Milton was so excited he wanted to do a stand-up. You know, he wanted to do a segue.
Yeah.
So we put Milton in front of the camera. And we say, 3, 2, 1, go. He says, hi, my name is Milton Mays, and we're.
He just froze.
We're. Oh, no. It's hilarious to us because yeah. The Washington Monument is sitting right behind him. Just turn around, dude. Just turn around.
It's amazing how that can happen sometimes, right?
He couldn't figure it out.
That's so perfect.
We talked about him for years.
Yeah, right? So, yeah, and the fact that you do that for the community. You do a lot of stuff to help people out. Like, you got a big heart. You're always looking and you're always looking to help people in the community. And I found your story so interesting. I knew we weren't going to have enough time for this story, which was great. And we're literally out of time already.
Nice.
Paul, thank you so much for coming on. We'll have to have you back so we can finish that story because there's some more in there we didn't get a chance to get to.
Listen, enjoy the life you're living, baby, just until you can live the life you'll enjoy.
My man. So if you've not gone to youtube.com/SpectacleTV, now is the last chance to check out what Paul's doing. Make sure to like, share, and subscribe on Spiritual Warfare Unit, and we will see you next week. Do you have a nonprofit in your area that's doing a lot of work that people should know about? Feel free to contact Spiritual Warfare Unit at 810-715-9319, and we would love to have them on to see what good they're doing in the community and find out their story. Thank you so much.